We are now recording.
Hi, Kim. It just started, and I updated software for my computer yesterday. And you know,
Peg Hiller, you're not muted, my friend.
I just muted her. Okay. Good morning. The recording has...
Actually, I wasn't on mute. See, I thought I was on mute.
You aren't on mute.
Muted herself now.
Are you back?
There. Now she's muted. Good morning, everybody. This meeting is being recorded. It's 8:30 a.m. on October 31st, 2023. Dr. King, after you call the meeting to order, we'll do a roll call of the board members and staff and proceed with a reading of the board's mission statement.
Good morning, everyone. I call the regular session meeting for October 31st, 2023 for the Arizona PT Board to session.
Thank you. Dr. King?
Present.
Dr. Bustillo?
Present.
Mr. Leone? Mr. Greer?
Present.
Mr. Barton? Mr. Barton, you're muted.
Present.
And board staff, Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
Ms. Sineth?
Present.
And my name is Judy Chepius. Let the record reflect that Mr. Leone is absent. And Mr. Greer, if you'll proceed with the reading of the mission statement.
I will. The mission of the Arizona State Board of Physical Therapy is to protect the public from the incompetent, unprofessional, and unlawful practice of physical therapy. The Arizona Physical Therapy Practice Act establishes the standard for the practice of physical therapy, continuing competence and testing, and defines the scope and limitations of practice. The board licenses and certifies qualified applicants as physical therapists and physical therapist assistants, and receives, investigates, and adjudicates complaints against licensees and certificate holders.
Thank you. Dr. King, the meeting is yours.
Thank you. The first item for us is agenda item number 3, and that is reviewing the minutes. First, we'll do the regular session from September 29th, 2023. Are there any edits or concerns or changes? Okay, hearing none, I move that we approve the meeting minutes from September 29th, 2023, regular session.
Second.
Okay.
Right. It's moved and seconded to approve the September 29th, 2023 regular session meeting minutes. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton? Mr. Barton, you're muted.
Sorry, abstain.
Mr. Harris with 3 voting on the minutes, does that allow us to meet our quorum requirements?
It doesn't, Judy. So if perhaps we can just continue the approval of the minutes to the next meeting.
Okay.
Do you need a motion on that, Mark?
Yes, please.
I move to continue the approval of the September meeting and the September executive session meeting minutes till our next meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to table the voting on the meeting minutes and the executive session meeting minutes to the next meeting. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Thank you. That motion passes.
Great. Next up, agenda item 4, applications for licensure and certification. 4A is review, consideration, and possible action for a PT applicant requesting an ADA accommodation. Is Francis Timothy Fentabuela here? I think he goes by Tim. Tim, are you on the call?
Yes.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, y'all.
I apologize for not pronouncing your last name correctly.
Oh, no, you're fine.
So tell us a little bit about your application for ADA accommodation.
I know this is, I've done the application a number of times, and I've come to the point where I don't know exactly what's going on. So then I sought out help from a professional psychiatrist, and I was kind of explaining the situation to her, with my test taking abilities and everything that's going around me in the environment, my studying habits and all the resources that I've used. And, I'm not exactly sure what was going on until I met her, until she kind of told me, hey, this is kind of what's going on with you. You get distracted very easily with, you know, people moving in and out of the testing room. I would explain to her, like, I would catch myself rereading the same sentence over and over and over again until the point where I've lost track of my time and information just hasn't been translated. It's just things like that, and the need to want to stand up all the time. So it's just things like that.
Are you willing to answer some questions by the board?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thanks. I know we have had, we've met you before, and I just, you know, just was reading your evaluation, and if at any point you feel like you would prefer to go into executive session to talk about your personal and private medical discussions, please let us know, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, one of the things that I was reading in the report talked about difficulty focusing, difficulty communicating, having, you know, kind of rambling off on tangents. Tell me a little bit about how this affected you as a clinical student in your clinical rotations.
Being in the clinic environment for me was a little bit different, just because the need to always move around and communicate with, you know, colleagues and patients was something that was never bothersome, I guess, so to speak. So that, in that sense, that was no problem. But when it came to sitting down, doing documentation, studying, things like that, of that nature, things would take a lot longer to do than I guess most. Yeah.
Were you given more time to document, or like, you know, thinking about, you know, what you were saying about rereading. And I know when you're in a clinical setting, you've got to read the charts, right? And make sure that you understand. So did you have to reread the patient's charts?
I would often do that. And at all my rotations, I would always take my documentation home with me. I could never finish it within the clinic.
Thanks. Outside of your clinical experience, tell me about how this affects you in like real life, driving, reading a map, going to the grocery store. Like, tell me about your life and how what's going on with you is affecting you outside of worrying about a test.
Sometimes, you know, it takes me a lot longer to complete tasks. You know, I can try to set a goal for myself to do this or do that, and then I find myself just wandering off doing something else, and then something that should have taken me 30 minutes to an hour is taking me 2 to 3 hours.
Have you noticed a difference since being treated?
I've been taking Ritalin, so I noticed with that my mind's not going anywhere else, I guess. Focus is there a little bit longer. Things like that. Anxiety is helping a little bit. I forgot the name. It's select. I don't remember the anxiety one. It's like selatropram or something like that.
Are you talking about the Celexa?
Alexa, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. I don't have any more questions.
Okay.
I'm going to butcher your last name, but Mr. Fuentimbella, how was that?
Yes, pretty good.
I understand correctly that you successfully completed your degree without any accommodations?
Yes.
And then did I understand correctly that you've taken the exam already?
I've taken a number of practice exams and the NPTEs, yes.
Okay. Is there anything about your disability that affects your ability to access the exam?
Accessing the exam, no.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I'd like to make a motion. This is Mr. Greer. I move to deny the requested accommodations. I don't see a disability that affects a major life function or impedes access to the exam.
This is Mr. Barton. I would second that. I think, given the testimony we've heard, particularly that he's now using a medication that seems to be working and helping, I don't think there's a basis there.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
I would agree with the above.
Okay. With no other discussion, Judy, you want to call the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to deny Francis Timothy Fuentebella's request for ADA accommodations. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Mr. Fuentebella, we honestly wish you all the best and luck in passing the exam.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. We are now at the agenda item 5, consent agenda. Are there any cases that you'd like to call out specifically on the consent agenda?
This is Mr. Barton. I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Alrighty.
It has been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda, which includes items listed as 5A and 5B. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you.
Thanks. So just really quickly, for anyone who might be on the call whose name was on this consent agenda, you're welcome to stay, but we have voted and approved the agenda items, and so you do not need to stay. You won't be asked any questions, so you can leave if you need to, but you're more than welcome to stay. Okay. We do have an informal hearing at 9, and it is not 9, so we will move. Are we okay to move to agenda item 8, rehearing review, or would you like to go to board business and introduce Liz?
It's up to you. We can go either direction.
Let's go ahead and go to board business.
Okay.
I know Liz has a hard stopping time, so I want to make sure we have time to meet her and welcome her to the board. So Judy, take it away.
Well, I would like to introduce you all to our newest addition to our investigative staff. Liz Seinisch comes with a wealth of experience and knowledge base in this area, and we couldn't be happier to have her. And I want to give her an opportunity to say hello and add anything You've all gotten a copy of her resume, so if anybody has any questions, you're welcome to ask.
Morning, everyone. As Judy said, I've had some experience in this area. I worked in outpatient orthopedics for about 12 and a half years, and I've done quite a bit of monitoring and a lot of chart reviews, so I have experience in this, and I've been looking forward to joining all of you. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer any, but I look forward to getting started.
Liz, what do you expect your schedule to be? Will you be a couple days a week?
I'm going to be 20 hours a week.
Okay, great. We're really glad to have you.
Yes, I'm looking forward to working closely with Mindy here.
Mm. Yeah, she's great. Yep. Yeah.
I think we'll make a great team.
I think so too.
Well, we're grateful and I'm glad you're here.
Thank
Any
you.
Other questions for Liz?
Just a solid woohoo. Welcome aboard.
Put that in the minutes, okay? Woo-hoo.
Right. All capitals.
Yeah. Great. While we're here, Judy, looks like we've got almost 15 minutes. Do you want to update us on the Ventia Cloud?
I can certainly do that as well.
Great.
I don't know if any of you have experienced any of this or seen the website, but we are, as we speak, undergoing the migration process. So the first step in all those processes is to have all of the data extracted from the existing system, which seems like it should be a fairly simplistic process, but I assure you it is not. They are expecting to spend probably a good 4 to 5 days just purely extracting our data, which will then be migrated over to the Ventia system, which again will take several days to import that data and then perform what's called mapping. So they have to take our, because, you know, there's no one system that looks like the next. So they have to take all of our data and identify where it belongs, and Steph will have to spend some time validating all of that information as well. So we are in that process. So in essence, we are in what's considered to be a blackout period. So there is the access to the system by any licensees or applicants has been prevented at this point. And the new system, of course, is not live yet until all of our data is present. So we are fielding calls about that question. The most impacted are the applicants who are in various stages. So we are working with workarounds for those who are in deficient status to try to manage anything that they're getting to us and hold it in a staging area. New applications are not able to be submitted at this time. In the end, when we are on the new system, if we move to a paper process or anything of the sort, it would require staff to then manually input. And once we're moving to the new system, that would take an extraordinary amount of time as we learn the new system and deal with the anything in process. So it's just a more straightforward process to let those new applicants just get started with the new system and submit that way. So there are still some corrections that Ventia is working on. There are still some items that were a little bit outstanding, but much of it revolves around the data itself. So until that real data is input into the system, it's really hard to work in a simulated world where everything is kind of pretend to verify that anything is accurate or inaccurate. So we're waiting for that data piece to go in. In the interim, so we've talked about applications, but if anybody needs like a license verification or any of that, that information is still on the board's website. It's available free of charge. Anybody can log in and get that. And with complaints, Ms. Richardson has developed a form that anybody with a complaint, contact her directly. She'll send them the form, and then we'll work through that process manually. So we've covered the bases. All bases are not fully covered simply because you can't cover everything, but at this point we are what we think is in the best position to move forward. So with fingers crossed, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's a huge undertaking.
Mm-hmm. That it is.
Is it every board moving to CINTIA or just PT?
No, there's multiple boards. It's not necessarily every board, I don't believe, but it is most boards and commissions. It is everybody who utilized the Salesforce or the e-licensing platform, plus multiple others who are migrating from their other various systems. Those that were on Salesforce like us, had to move. We have to move because Salesforce is being discontinued by the state, or everybody's moving to CINTIA. So it's a crush, and they're hoping to get everybody over by December. So, we're hoping to avoid that last minute rush and just get over and get settled more readily.
Okay. Great. Yeah, I think it's important to know that it's not just the PT board. This is affecting multiple boards.
Right. And another thing to make very clear is the time frames and the duration that it takes to do this. This is outside of the board's control. There is absolutely no way that we can control this. This is many agencies working together, performing their piece, and it's got to be on a scheduled process. And so it's beyond anything that we can predict or get to say, hey, we're kind of done with this, you know, move it along a little bit faster. That's beyond us. So we are responding to those kind of questions in that manner, that it is a time frame that's out of our control. We're just trying to work as best we can within the parameters that are set for us.
Right. Thank you. So just really quick, do you want to give us an update on Rules Committee, or do you want Josh and I to do an update on the FSBPT annual meeting?
I would say the update on the FSBPT annual meeting, because the Rules Committee is going to require the board to make appointments.
Okay. Okay. Josh and I don't need any board meeting, like board member votes. So Josh, do you want to give a little bit of update on how the annual education meeting went?
Yes, I'm happy to. Last weekend, 10 days ago, Dr. King and I attended the FSBPT National Education Meeting in Jacksonville, Florida. When asked what fun things to do in Jacksonville, Florida, I was informed that the St. John's River flows north, and that's kind of neat, and also that I-10 ends there. So I'm not saying we didn't have a lot of fun, but when you lead with those two things, you're kind of setting expectations. There was a pretty cool tree that Dr. King and I both walked over to, but that was about the extent of the excitement. The real advantage in these meetings is the networking. The informational sessions are informative and sometimes really informative. I don't understand physical therapy as good as most people there, so a lot of it goes over my head. But the opportunity to network and to rub shoulders and to get to know people is invaluable. And I don't know if anyone had any specific questions. Dr. King, she was taking better notes than I was, but she understood the materials better than I did as well. So the biggest disappointment is Dr. King was not elected to the nominations committee. We asked for a recount because we're from Arizona, but they did not take us seriously. So.
Yeah. It's okay. The process was great. Met a lot of really neat people. So it was good. For me, the highlights really were the focus, fortunate and unfortunate, I think, of an increase and board regulators facing subjects such as sexual boundary violations and power imbalances and things like that. There was some excellent education, some great resources for regulators around that. And then I explored Jacksonville. We actually took a rental car and went to St. Augustine, which is the oldest city in the entire United States, and stood on the oldest street in the entire United States. So that was really fun. There's a lot of history in Jacksonville. But I thought the meeting was great. I thought the programming was really, really good. And like Josh said, the networking, meeting other board presidents and regulators, and just discussing, you know, commonalities and what boards are facing in the profession of physical therapy was really good. So there was a whole presentation on AI, which went way over my head. This gal was super spunky and super smart, and also quite a few years younger than me. So her understanding, and you know, our new professionals coming in are gonna have a better understanding of AI and the advantages of AI in healthcare and in physical therapy. So there's definitely more to come on that. But it was really good. Okay, we have 4 minutes. Judy, you want to go over September 23 financials?
Sure. So the September 23 financials were placed in your packets. If there are any questions, I am happy to discuss them, happy to clarify, happy to direct or do more research as necessary.
None for me.
You think?
Okay. Licenses, certificates, and registrations?
Yes, we had a fair amount. The October exams have just completed. There was an early October exam for PTAs. There is a later exam, I believe it was the 26th. So as leading up to that time frame, focus tends to be on completing applications and getting approval to test before the deadlines. So then we sit in a lull with a large group of applications in process while all of the examinations go on. So the numbers have, you'll see a decrease in the numbers approved, and that is simply based on all of those testing cycles. So we go up, we go down. So, but nonetheless, there was still plenty of work to be done, and plenty of work was done. So, any questions on the registrations or, certificates or, licenses issued?
I do have a super quick question for you. I think it's quick anyway. Do we have a sense at any specific time period of how many people have a compact privilege in our state for practicing on compact privilege?
Yes. We can look that up. In fact, okay. I can look that up. There are, you know, it fluctuates because the compact privileges always revolve around a home state license. So that expiration date can be any day of the year based on whatever state that they're coming from. But yes, I can do a quick search and find out how many active we have.
And Judy, while you're at, mm-hmm. I think Dr. King knows what my question is going to be. Can you tell how many of those compact holders are actually practicing in Arizona?
No.
Yeah.
No, we cannot. There are 464 currently, as of this exact moment, with an active PT compact privilege in Arizona. With an active Arizona PT compact privilege, whether they're in Arizona or not, we have no way to know that.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. All right, we have 1 minute, so maybe we'll just take a pause. Are you going to stop recording and re-record?
Yes, we can absolutely do that. Let's stop the recording at 8:59.